Our text for this evening study is Psalm 33, and I read to you the whole psalm, and then we will study verses 1 to 4. Psalm 33, verses 1 to 4. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with a lyre. Make melody to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Psalm 33 is a psalm of praise and worship. And the verbs that are used here in the psalm are plural. So we understand that the psalm involved corporate worship. It involved the worshiping community at the sanctuary. And the worship leader calls them to worship. Psalm 33 verses 1 to 3. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. Now King David organized a choir of 4,000 musicians to praise and worship in the temple that his son Solomon would build. 1 Chronicles chapter 23 verse 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 23 verse 5. 4,000 gatekeepers and 4,000 shall offer praise to the Lord with the instruments that I have made for praise. So corporate worship with music was so important to Israel as they came together to praise the Lord. The worship leader summoned them to worship, as we see in verses 1 to 3. And the choir led the assembly in praising the Lord. And all the congregation together closed with affirmation of faith. In verses 20 to 22 we read, Psalm 30 verses 20 to 22. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Now, most likely, this psalm of praise was occasioned by the nation's victory over enemy nations. For we read in Psalm 33, in verses 10 to 11, Psalm 33, verse 10 and 11, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. So most likely, this psalm was written because of the nation's victory over the enemy nations. And Israel is now worshiping the Lord because of that victory. Praising and worshiping God because of that victory. Verses 16 to 19 also tell us that this occasion of praise and worship was in response to a victory. Psalm 33 verses 16 to 19. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. So they have won a victory over an enemy nation, and they are praising and worshiping God, and they are thanking him. It says in verse 19 that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. So in that difficult time, God kept the nation and protected the people. Now except for verse 22 in the psalm, which says, "Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you." Except for this verse, which is a prayer, the rest of the psalm is totally devoted to praise, to worship. So this psalm is a foundation for praise. The psalm tells us who should worship the Lord, verse 1. And then it tells us how they should worship the Lord, verses 2 to 4. And then it says why they should worship the Lord, verses 5 to 19. And then what should happen because God's people worship him, verses 20 to 22. First, who should worship the Lord, verse 1. We will just look at verses 1 to 4 today because we won't have time. Who should worship the Lord? Verse 1, Psalm 33. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. This verse parallels Psalm 32 and verse 11. Remember Psalm 32, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. And shout for joy, all you upright in heart. So this verse reminds us that only those who are righteous by faith and those who are obedient in their walk with God, those who are upright, only such people can actually sincerely worship the Lord from their hearts. Psalm 15 verses 1 and 2. Psalm 15 verses 1 and 2. A psalm of David. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart. You see again, righteousness and truth. People who are walking uprightly. Now we are made righteous by faith in the person of Jesus Christ, not by what we have done. Our salvation is a gift, and we receive that gift when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And this was also true in the case of the Old Testament saints. They were saved by grace through faith, not by anything that they did. Take the case of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15 verses 1 to 6. Genesis 15 verses 1 to 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Note verse 6. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. So Abraham was saved just by believing in what God told him. Romans chapter 4 verses 3 to 5. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He put his trust in God. It was counted to him as righteousness. Verse 4. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift but as his due.
And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. So Abraham just simply trusted the God who revealed himself to him, who spoke to him. Abraham simply believed the Lord who revealed himself and spoke to him. And this was credited to him as righteousness. This was his salvation. We too are saved by grace through faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not by anything that we do, not by any works that we do. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 9. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So we are not saved by good works, we are saved by grace through faith in the person of Jesus Christ, but we are saved to do good works, which God has planned for each one of us to do. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15, we read, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. This is something that every believer, everyone who knows Christ will want to do. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15, because you've been drawn out of darkness, you've been made a child of God, you've been delivered from the clutches of the evil one, and therefore you desire to offer praise. You desire to praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15. Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. It is important for those who have experienced the grace of God and his forgiveness to worship the Lord. We must learn to become worshipers. Remember David saying in Psalm 32 verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. In Psalm 51, David promises to declare praise to God once he is forgiven. Psalm 51 verses 14 to 15. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Again in Psalm 97 verse 12. Psalm 97 verse 12. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. Psalm 147 verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and a song of praise is fitting. So it is the righteous ones, the ones who have been saved by grace through faith, they desire to worship God. God is our creator and he cares for us and he has redeemed us by the blood of Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. He is the Lord of all and he watches over us. Psalm 100 and verse 3. Psalm 100 and verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He has redeemed us, delivered us. Redeemed means delivered. He has redeemed us and we belong to him. No wonder the worship leader in this psalm is exhorting the people to rejoice, to praise, to play instruments and sing to the Lord. A forgiven sinner, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, should have absolutely no problem praising the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 and 31. And because of him, if you read that verse carefully, you will find the him there is God. God the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 and 31. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. God the Father has put us in Christ Jesus his Son, and he declared us righteous by the blood of his Son. That's why it says here, because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God the Father put you and me in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, no one can pluck you out of my hands. He also says, no one can pluck you out of my Father's hands. So we are secure in Him. We are made righteous by what He did for us. We have been redeemed in Christ. We are made righteous. And so we rejoice and we can praise and worship God. Psalm 118, verse 15. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. In the home of those who are declared righteous by God, in the homes of believers, there is praise, there is worship. There is praise and worship in the house of the righteous because of what God has done. Because of what God has done for them through His Son. And because we've been made righteous by the blood of Christ, we can call upon His holy name and praise Him and seek His face in prayer, and He will hear our cry. Proverbs 15 verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to Him. Psalm 50 verses 14 to 16. Psalm 50 verses 14 to 16. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? So who should praise the Lord? Who can praise the Lord? Only the righteous. Only those who are walking uprightly after being declared righteous by God. Those who are saved and walking with God can definitely praise and worship Him. Number two, how they should worship the Lord. Verses 2 to 4. Psalm 33 verses 2 to 4. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre, making melody to Him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. It's so wonderful to see the children praising the Lord with the guitar, with the strings, and with the piano. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. You see, both voices and instruments were used in public worship in the sanctuary. And we read of this in 1 Chronicles chapter 25. 1 Chronicles chapter 25 verse 1. David and the chiefs of the service also set apart for the service the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who prophesied with lyres, with harps, and with cymbals. You see those three names there. Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun. These were the three worship leaders. Psalm 33 and verse 3. It says, sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. So the voices should be enthusiastic. In the spirit, not in the demonstration of the flesh. Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. You see, you and I are spirit beings. Fundamentally, we are spirit beings. Each one of us, we have a human spirit. Now, the human spirit, before we come to know Christ, the spirit of man is dead. That means the spirit of man was created to commune with the spirit of God. But because of sin, man is separated from God and he's spiritually dead. The moment a person is born again, this dead spirit comes alive. And man's spirit is able to commune with God's spirit. That means it fulfills the purpose for which it is created. The human spirit is created to commune with God's spirit. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. That means truth about God. And we worship the God who is true, who has revealed Himself. We don't worship false gods. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The New King James Version describes these loud shouts of praise as
A shout of joy.
Psalm 33 verse 3, I read from the New King James Version. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. This shout of joy is not being playfully jovial. No, no, no. This is a deep reverence for God, which brings great joy. We are called to be joyful in the Lord at all times. Philippians chapter 4 verse 4, the Apostle Paul tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, this kind of rejoicing comes even when the believer is suffering. Even when he is suffering for the Lord, he rejoices. Acts chapter 5 verses 40 to 42. Acts chapter 5 verses 40 to 42. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. You see that? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. There was no fear. No fear of these cruel authorities, because they knew whom they were worshiping. They knew the God whom they worshiped, and they rejoiced even though they were going through suffering. Psalm 33 verse 3. Play skillfully on the strings. The instruments must be played with skill, and those who play these instruments must give their best to the Lord. When the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem, we read of a worship leader. His name is Kenaniah. And Kenaniah was appointed in the task of leading the choir in praise and worship. And he was, of course, musically skilled. The Bible says he understood it. He understood music. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 22. Kenaniah, leader of the Levites in music, should direct the music, for he understood it. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 verses 27 to 28. David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as also were all the Levites who were carrying the ark and the singers, and Kenaniah, the leader of the music of the singers. And David wore a linen ephod. So all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting to the sound of the horn, trumpets and cymbals, and made loud music on harps and lyres. We see skilled musicians and singers in the choir that David organized. There were skilled musicians there and singers. 1 Chronicles chapter 25 verses 5 to 7. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, according to the promise of God to exalt him. For God had given Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters, and they were all under the direction of their father in the music in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the order of the king. The number of them, along with their brothers who were trained in singing to the Lord, all who were skillful, was 288. Just imagine that. Skilled singers, trained. So all this shows how seriously worship was taken during the time of the reign of David, the anointed king of Israel. Then again, verse 3 we read, sing to him a new song. Psalm 33 verse 3, sing to him a new song. The new song means new in time or new in expression. And this term, a new song, you find it 9 times in the scriptures. And I'm just going to go through those verses. A new song. Psalm 40 verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Psalm 96 verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Psalm 98, verse 1. A psalm. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Then David says in Psalm 144, verse 9, I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a 10-string harp I will play to you. Isaiah 42, verse 10. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants. You see there, sing to the Lord a new song. Psalm 149 verse 1. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Psalm 149 verse 1. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Then in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 9. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. This is to the Lamb of God, Jesus, the risen Christ. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. Revelation chapter 14, verse 3. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. The Holy Spirit of God can make an old song new to us as we grow in the knowledge of God, as we understand more of His Word, or as we have new experiences as we walk with the Lord. He can also open our hearts to a song that is completely new to us. In fact, our growth in our appreciation for psalms and hymns and spiritual songs is one indication of our development, of our growth in the Christian life. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 14 to 15, Paul says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. You see, the Apostle Paul, in his time of private prayer, he prayed in tongues, and he prayed also with his mind. When we pray in tongues, the mind is not edified. The spirit is edified. The mind is not edified. So he says, I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. Then he says, I will sing praise with my spirit. That means he says, I will sing in tongues. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. But what is most important is that our worship must be scriptural. Psalm 33 verse 4. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. You see, a preacher has no right to preach a lie. And a choir has no right to sing a lie. A preacher has no right to preach a lie. The choir has no right to sing a lie. The problem is that not all religious songs are doctrinally right. And therefore, we need to be careful in choosing our songs of praise and worship. When God works, He obeys His own word. And therefore, any worship that is contrary to the word of God does not please God. So we must learn to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. In truth means doctrinally correct. John chapter 4 verses 23 to 24. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. In the book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 3. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. The Holy Spirit enables us, empowers us, so that we can worship God, so that we can worship God in spirit and in truth. True spirit-led worship that will never contradict God's word and will always edify God's people.
Heaven is a place of worship. Don't forget that. Heaven is a place of worship. And we as God's children need to get ready for heaven, learning to be true worshipers while we are here on earth. The Apostle John, he gives us a glimpse of worship that is going on in heaven at the throne of God in the book of Revelation chapter 4 verses 8 to 11. Revelation chapter 4 verses 8 to 11. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne saying, "Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created." So, as a church, as individual believers, and collectively, as church, we must learn to worship the Lord. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. As a church, truly, we must become a people of worship. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?